Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we
the authentically
die.
Entertaining conversation that matters.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. Where the stars have always shined.
I'm Mark Legere, and now, your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, I have had the pleasure of knowing our guest, Chaz Guest, for a few years now, when I was first invited by Tess Cacciatore to be on her TV show, Man Up. And I remember Chaz was one of the guests on that show, as was I. And I had an opportunity to chat with him. And afterwards, I thought, this guy's a painter. This guy sounds like a philosopher. People should be listening to what he has to say. We had such a great conversation. And we haven't had a conversation since, him and I, until Tess took me to the opening of his exhibit just this weekend. And it's funny, when we went up to him, the first thing he says is, I said, hi, I'm Filippo. He said, I remember you. We had a great conversation. And I said, yes, and I'm looking forward to continuing that conversation on our show this coming Monday night, where we were going to talk about his art, his philosophy, all the things that he's done. And as it is, this is a live show, and There were evidently a couple accidents around town, because Dorothy and I were stuck in one of them and Mark was stuck in another. And it seems like Chaz was stuck in yet another one. So he doesn't look like he's going to make it for the show. There's so much more we could talk about. And I'd like to say a little bit more about him before we go on with the rest of the show, because we have an interesting email that came in today, and we're going to follow up with that when we come back. But it's interesting, because I said to Chaz that he's met Oprah and Obama when he was president, and the king of the Ashanti, and he's gotten this recognition, and his art has sold up to $100,000 for a piece and all that. And I said to him, I said, Chaz, you almost seem undaunted by all of this. And he says, you know, Filippo, it's all nice. It's all very nice. He says, however, what I'm trying to do, and that's exactly what we titled the show. We titled the show Art Illuminating Life. His words were, what I'm trying to do is to raise the human consciousness a little further, push humanity further, actually were his exact words. And it's interesting, because I got to go to this opening with Tess and Mark's son, Jet. And here we were admiring the art in the gallery at the painter gallery. It's called Patrick Painter. And I was trying to explain to Jet what was going on, and Jet had his own ideas of what was going on. And as soon as he met Chaz, he's like, you get it. You get me. And there's a picture we're going to post that they took together, which it was really special, because it was like the younger generation actually sharing with the older generation what they see and what they aspire to, or what hopes they have, or how they think things are represented. It was actually a very special moment for all of us. And so with that, I want to say Patrick Painter is the gallery. Our guest, Chaz Guest, is the artist who has his work at the gallery right now until September 2nd of 2017. And the work, that particular exhibit, is called Buffalo Warrior. If you want to know more about Chaz Guest and his work and where you could see it, chazguest.com. So chazguest.com. com. Well, we'll be back with all kinds of other surprises right after this on the Life Changes Show.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo sitting here with Mark.
I'm here.
You are here. You know, and this is one of the things that we love about being live, I have to say. I like to see live theater because it's live and something, you know, it's in the moment. And but I really would love to have had Chaz here with us.
I know you were really excited about this. And I was excited about this because also Jet is excited about this, and Jet's in the house because he, just as you told the story, had a real connection with Chaz. So we're all eager to watch his career excel and continue to support what he does
and watch him push humanity forward.
Indeed.
And so that too is why I was calling it Art Illuminating Life, because it gave me a special moment. I've not talked to Jed about art, and I was telling him, do you see how the blues are really rich, and the blue down here connects with the blue up there? And as I was describing this, I'm like, wow, those blues are really rich. I don't think I've seen blues like that. And then I go and read how Chaz has special colors and paints that he gets from special places, and blue is one of his thing, and it's like, ah, of course. So it was like we were all illuminated, but more importantly, we were illuminated by the story he was telling and the Buffalo Warrior, and there's a whole story there, and I'd love to share more about that, because I was inspired by that personally, and I think the world could be better inspired by it, especially Americans. However, I think we just need to shoot for having Chaz on another time. And I have to say this too. It's interesting how he agreed to be on the show, yet he had been 10 days with the King of the Ashanti and painting his portrait. And then he arrived the gallery called him and said, we need four more paintings. And so he did four paintings in like 6 days. And then Tess and I and like hundreds of other people walked into the gallery to say, hi, Chaz. He said, I was just like, wow, it was so much going on. And so he was telling me today on the phone, he said, yesterday I did not move a muscle. And I'm so honored that he was going to make it to the studio today to do this. But that wasn't meant to be exactly like that.
Well, he hasn't moved many muscles. Stuck in traffic.
In traffic,
either,
so. This is true. Well,
he's getting a break, unfortunately, but here we are.
Well, interestingly, just before the show started, Dorothy said, oh, wait, you, Filippo, you got to hear this. This just came in, and I have to read it to you. And I got a bit emotional, and Dorothy had a tear in her eye. And so I was hoping she could share it during the show somehow. Mark, I think this is a good time to do it.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. Let's do it. So, Dorothy Donahue.
I'm so excited. This is for all of you that I know personally who have purchased the book, The Little Dog That Could, and haven't found time to read it yet. This is from a dear friend, and she says, hi, Dorothy. Last night, I finally picked up The Little Dog That Could, and except for taking a little time to sleep and eat, I didn't put the book down until I finished it about an hour ago. Oh, Lord, I'm not sure what to say except to say that I felt an immediate need to write to you. The tears started flowing at around page 8 and seemingly continued through Filippo's unusual visit with his grandmother Sarah and on to the end. In between were laugh-out-loud moments, what's going to happen next moments, and holy shit, did that really happen moments. It's safe to say it struck a chord. Actually, it struck all kinds of chords. Emotional, spiritual, enlightened, even woo-woo, and so many more. I found myself cheering for everyone in the story, but especially for little Chichina. During my breaks from reading, I found myself taking extra special time with my two little girls, felines, by giving them a whole lot of extra special love and attention and a few extra treats. A beautifully written and inspirational story that will stay with me forever. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this wonderful book. So please, all of you who have the book, do yourself a favor and read it. It is an amazing, wonderful story, and I thank you, Filippo, for writing it.
And for those that don't have the book, buy it and read it.
Well, thank you. Well, that really touched my heart, and the texts and the emails and the Amazon reviews that come in, all of them have touched me and moved me. Dorothy and Mark, I have to say, encouraged me to put this book out. They both knew it existed, and they had both read it years ago and said, "You got to get it out. You got to get it out." And Mark went so far as to say, "That book has legs.
Four of them.
Four of them." and so. It is special to read what people are saying. So I have to say, this very day as well, I heard from Chef Richard Lombardi, who also started reading his book, I don't know if he started reading it or his wife was reading it, but he called me for something unrelated, and his wife came to the phone and said, "Filippo, I knew it. My husband hated dogs." And I heard Richard say, "You know, why did you write that in there?" And I said, "I didn't think you told me that." And he said, "Well, yeah, but I guess he didn't want his wife to know. But I knew it. I knew it. Him and his mom, they both hated dogs. I knew it. And he would never admit it. And I felt bad." And Richard said, "Filippo, you should call this the little dog that could break up a 50-year marriage." How about a little of integrity in that marriage? If you don't like dogs, tell her. Anyway, but so that happened all in the same day, and who knows what else surprises are in store for us today. But you know, this gives me an opportunity to reflect on how many things we have done and the things that we have put out. And actually, Chef Richard himself is now putting out a book called The Cancer Fighting Cook. And he asked me if there were any way that we could combine the recalibration conversation with him doing a cooking demonstration about cancer fighting foods. And I thought that was interesting because, Mark, we've been asked recently if we could do something around aging and the recalibration. And I did an interview about romance and the recalibration and relationships. And it's interesting how when we approach the recalibration, we approached it as you could use this for any part of your life. Now people are saying, "Well, help us use it in a specific area of our life."
Absolutely. Absolutely. It translates to everything.
I would really like to see it used as a health recalibration, because health is a choice. And I think it's really important for people to understand that. And boy, the questions that are asked in the recalibration could really lead to some much better choices for one's health.
So I had an opportunity to, so I was in Milwaukee last weekend performing, and to be doing something that I last did 9 years ago, and to have people not only remember me, but know about the new things that I'm doing, know about the book, and know about the recalibration, or know about the show, know about Energetic Alchemy, or the Life Improvement Workshop. And so people that I didn't expect are following us, are learning from us. And one of the interesting things, there was somebody that was preaching to me there. I haven't talked with this person about this stuff in 10 years, preaching to me about something that I had said to them 10 years ago. And I quoted them saying, "Didn't you say to me that that's just crazy talk?" And I said, "And now you're preaching to me." And so in a way, I think we're about 10 years ahead of the curve here on some of the things that we're talking about.
Well, Dorothy's probably about 40 years ahead of the curve and some of the things. But yes, I think we're coming into vogue for sure.
So and it couldn't be a more perfect time. So, Dorothy, can you share? I know you have an energetic alchemy workshop coming up, and I have had people ask me and clients ask me. And so I think this is a good time to talk about that.
I love my job as an energetic alchemist, and people think of alchemy as changing lead into gold. And what I have done is turn it into changing our leaden thoughts, our heavy thoughts, our negative thoughts into better thoughts that will co-create a more beautiful future for each of us. Our thoughts really create our reality. And so what started out as a Reiki mastery course is now a life mastery course. And it is so much fun to see people remember what they already know. I just remind us, we all have the knowledge. We're all the one we've been waiting for. We have the answers inside if we just get quiet enough to look and to ask the right questions. So I'll be teaching it on August 12th and 13th in Sherman Oaks. And I would love for some of our listeners to give me a call and sign up for this class.
Well, you teach it actually at least once a month, so people can go to energeticalchemy.com and learn more about it. They can follow you on Facebook and all of that. And actually, let's cut to a quick commercial, and when we come back, we can talk about a little bit about the recalibration and maybe life improvement for fun. And then we're going to have live music here in the studio, as always. This time it's going to be Lynn Cardona singing and Dori Amarillo on the guitar, and we are so looking forward to having them on in just a little bit. So join us here on the Life Changes Show after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and Dorothy. And a little later on, we're going to be joined by Lynn Cardona and Dori Amarillo here in the studio for some beautiful live music. It's interesting that also just today, today was a big day, but then again, at Life Changes, it always is. There's so much going on. But today, we also posted the first of two parts of testimonials for the recalibration, and that's visible on our website at therecalibration.com, and haven't even had a chance to share it on Facebook yet. Was going to do that tomorrow and still will, but in the meantime, therecalibration.com, you'll see some testimonials there. And what I love about the testimonials is the range of people that are not just in the testimonial, but that come to the classes.
I love it. We've had them as young as 18 and 85, I think, was the oldest, and yeah. Everywhere in between. And what I love is we've had some people come who had all of the answers and didn't know why they needed to be there and were absolutely in love with the course. It changed their lives.
That was the most impressive to me, is the range of occupations or lifestyles. There was people from every walk of life, from professional into the healing modalities. But then, as you mentioned, we had some people fresh off their third or fourth big seminar from one of the top well-known HBO televised, you know, self-helpers. And kind of were like, well, I don't know why we're doing another one when we've been through all these. And they said they had the biggest breakthroughs that they've had of any of those here with us at the recalibration. So pretty impressive.
It was awesome. We had a young man who was fresh out of the gangs and out of the gang world, and it changed his life. And now he's doing everything he can to get his friends to lead a different kind of life, and it was thanks to the recalibration.
Yeah, we have people breaking down emotionally for joy or pain or what have you, and building them back up and all that. But that last hour of the recalibration at the end of every weekend, I get emotional just to see the ahas, to hear them share with the group, and that one really got me was the young man, 18 years old, and I ran up to the stage and hugged him and cried because I was just so happy for him. And then to hear afterwards that he says he wants to do what we're doing, and won't that be wonderful as we grow to be able to bring in people from all walks of life to co-facilitate.
Oh, definitely all walks of life. You know, you get emotional for the last hour because you're the one presenting most of the front end of it. I get emotional during the first couple hours because I get to watch the recalibration. The information, even up front, is so powerful, even before they go into some of the workshop exercises. The information that is provided and your presentation and the way it really opens minds and hearts and shifts perspectives. It's powerful.
Yeah, some people have said that in the first half, hour and a half, that they've got their money's worth already, and their lives already have been changed. And I think we need to turn that hour and a half into just an hour and a half that we do for people, and then, but obviously the course then takes them deeper and further, and all of that. So it's really interesting how all of these courses work. Like Dorothy's talking about energetic alchemy being a life mastery course, and then we talk about how life improvement is you know, improv is not just for comedy anymore, and in the recalibration we talk about how you know, stand in the place where we are and take a moment and just assess our life and look and see what needs to be recalibrated, from whether it's our past or how we think about our future or a relationship or a career or what have you. We don't give ourselves that kind of time usually to be able to say, okay, this is what I this is who I am now, or this is what I want to do now. We just kind of start and go.
I like the starting and the going part when we're in our life improvement classes, because that really gives our participants the opportunity to take a look at things, but they're doing it in between belly laughs, and suddenly they have the opportunity to really take a different look at some of those powerful, unexpected, improvisational moments that are having in their that they've had in their lives and or are going through at that moment. And something about the laughter and the joy and being able to look at it without being in that same frame of mind really opens them up to other possibilities of how they could have done it or looked at it or how maybe they should be now.
It's funny, people say that they can't do improv, and we point out to them one of the first things is they improv every moment of the day. They don't know who's going to call in this moment. They don't know who's going to sideswipe them or honk behind them, or they don't know who's going to walk in front of them while they're driving.
They don't know whose guest isn't going to make it for the show that night.
Exactly.
Even those of us who think we're planning our lives, every moment is an improv moment. And once we understand that, we can also choose to laugh at some of the unexpected instead of going into a frenzy.
Well, you're just suggesting that we pre-plan our improv at a
as best as we can.
At a higher level, yes.
Well, what I like to say is that hindsight is 2020, but what if foresight could be 2020 or as close to it as possible? And that in the life improvement, the tools for improv allow for the opportunity for that kind of foresight, because we get to train ourselves to expect or to allow for certain possibilities to happen. And that's important, whether that's in a relationship or work or on radio.
Or on radio. All the time. All the time. We're, as you said, the possibilities exist, and yet we don't give ourselves the opportunity to think about it and respond and evaluate before we react. Most often we're reacting, and then that's setting up a whole other range of possibilities now because of the reaction.
Good point. And we rely on ways we reacted before, even if they don't work. It's the only one we know, or it's so ingrained in us, so that's our go-to, whether we like it or not. And we can change it. I've seen it happen, and that's one of the most fulfilling things that we do. And so I'm very proud of us. I'm excited for the people who get to experience, like the person who read The Little Dog That Could, and shared that with Dorothy, and the people who have shared their testimonials on Life Changes, the Recalibration, rather. And it's on our website now. You can go and see it at therecalibration.com. And so on and so forth. So this has been wonderful being able to talk about all of this and to talk about it with you all. And we are going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back for a segment that people love and we all love here, and that is the Ask Dorothy segment. And immediately after that, we're going to have live music with Lynn Cardona and Dori Amarillo, and we're looking forward to all of that here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, sitting here with Mark and Dorothy, and we have, Mark, do you want to introduce him?
We have a very special guest joining us in the studio, Mr. Jet Paul Lejeune.
Hi. Hi, Jet.
Hi.
I'm so glad you're here, and I know you're here because you wanted to see Chaz again. Can you tell us what happened when he first met you? Do you remember what he said? You gave each other a big hug, and then he said what?
Well, I walked in the room, and like you said, we gave each other a big hug, and then he said, wait, which one?
Because there are a couple things. He says, you've got great energy. Remember that?
And you know, I do.
You do, of course. Well, one of the interesting things is that Jet, you had an opportunity to go with friends and play that night, and Tess and I were going to the gallery, and you said, That sounds interesting.
Because I could have gone with my friend, but I decided, wait a minute, this sounds like more something I would want to do. I go to my friends a lot, and that's a different story. But when I hear this, it sounds a little bit more interesting. I feel like I really want to go there, and it's art, so why not?
And so this was the first time you went to a gallery?
First time I've been to a gallery.
It turned out great. Tess introduced you to the artist. The artist hugs you and says, wow, you got great energy. And then he gave you something.
Yeah, he actually gave me this little piece of art, right? Little symbolic thing, piece of art, right? Mm-hmm. But when you look at it, it has so much texture and so much art in it, with every little pixel in it, because it's made by little dots, like, really. But it's, you know, have you seen people, like, all sorts of really cool things? Mm-hmm. Well, it's little but big, and that's the crazy thing about it. And I think, I don't know this for sure, but I just have some sort of feeling that because he probably made it for the movie that he was actually going to make, I believe, for the comic. So if you go to that gallery at any time, you will see that there is all these paintings listed, and they all have graphic novel, like, on them, and it's all, like, built that way, so.
Very nice. Yeah. You're right. We didn't mention the movie, and we were going to wait to talk about it with him, and thank you for mentioning it, because there is a movie that's going to be made with his artwork. So, and it's been used in other things as well, a lot of other things, actually. So you have a very special piece that he gifted you, and I think that's very special, and thank you for coming on and sharing that.
Anytime.
Okay,
thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jet Paul Lejeune. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Was this your first interview on radio?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, very good.
And not the last, I'm sure.
Nice job. Okay. And now for our Ask Dorothy segment.
Okay, Dorothy. Jim from Northridge asks, I just experienced another tree falling apart on my property. The only difference this time is that it didn't fall on the house and didn't cause any damage to the property. What is the significance of this kind of thing?
Jim, experiences like this can be thought of as a waking dream. Instead of truth coming in the form of something you experience in a dream, it sometimes comes in an event while you are awake. The only time a branch falls off a tree on its own is when it is dead, because there is no more life to keep it attached to that tree. No sap, no anything. This indicates that the fallen branch's time was up, and it was nothing but dead weight and was weighing down the tree. I believe this event signifies that unwanted and dead things are going to start falling from your life. These could be things like bad habits, both physical and mental, toxic relationships, and old ways of doing things. It could be almost anything that no longer serves you. But whatever it is in your life that is about to disappear, you can choose to look forward to it. The tree feels no pain when the dead branch falls away. It might even feel relieved that the dead weight is finally gone. I encourage you to look for and expect good things to come to you and the ones you love.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you would like to ask Dorothy a question, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Very good. And so now we'll be back with Lynn Cardona and Dori Amarillo just after this here on the Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back, and we have joining us here in the studio, we have Lynn Cardona. She's a Los Angeles-based vocalist, and Dori Amarillo, and he is, international, I would say, guitarist, composer, producer. Welcome, both of you, to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Nice
happy to be here.
It's very special to have you.
Yeah.
So let's start with Lynn. Lynn, I was going to say you've been singing all your life, but you're very young. Welcome.
Thanks.
She just got carded.
I did actually.
See, that's great.
I'm not that young. I look very.
Oh, just go with it, Lynn.
I don't care. Everyone in Hollywood and feels like they have to, or just in LA, I guess, in general, they feel like they have to sort of lie about their age, and I just refuse to.
Good for you. Keep it real.
Yeah, I'll be 37 in a couple of weeks.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am.
Well, good for you. Then you should be saying your age. More power to you.
Yeah.
Dori, we won't get into that with you, but you...
20 years later.
20. Right. You started in Tel Aviv, born to a musical family.
Right. My dad is a composer, songwriter. His background was legit, classical violinist, and he turned into a songwriter. Ended up being a very successful songwriter there, so people know his songs. He wrote a lot of them. So I grew up into the whole process of creating music. This was my first school, basically. Then became a guitar player because I wanted to play Beatles.
Oh, really?
By ear. And refused to do all the classical training and still regret it. And then eventually move into composing and producing and doing music for film and television, video games, commercials, and somehow kind of gravitated back to jazz and playing. And now I produce and arrange for singers. Talented and singers like Lynn.
You're working with several, actually.
That's
So today we have Lynn Cardona, and then who was the other?
I'm working on a album, debut album for Greta Angel.
Yes.
A mutual friend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's coming along very, very well. It's a variety of treatments for the American songbook, the standards, anywhere from duo to trio to a 60-piece orchestra arrangements that I did.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. And how about you, Lynn? What kind of music do you like to sing?
Ugh. I know, right? That's such a hard question for me.
Well, you're recording an album, so what is
well,
it?
I feel like I kind of do a lot of things, but at the moment, I have sort of two different projects. One, Dory is actually helping produce for me. We're making, you know, this great record in his studio, and we've used some of the premier incredible First Call musicians in Los Angeles, Josh Nelson, Dan Schnell, Dave Robert. And so I feel very grateful and fortunate to have I feel if you drop one person's name, the others sort of follow. So
well,
that's
some
I
of your heroes like Sarah Vaughan, they might have worked with her or one or two of them.
Oh man, well,
Josh was with Natalie Cole.
Oh, yes. There you go. Exactly.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. So he was her musical director and her pianist. For many years, and so it's. It's kind of a dream. He's like the guy everybody wants to work with, so I feel very fortunate that he said yes, and I grabbed him and took him to Dory's, and we cut. Well, now we've mixed and mastered three tunes, and we're working on some more, and it's great. So, and that's more kind of straight ahead, and we're going to be performing some of those tunes here a different sort of fashion.
Let's hear that, actually. What are we going to hear first?
Yeah. So Lynn is a very talented songwriter, singer. So not just a song stylist, she writes her own material, which is how we end up here.
And so we're going to hear.
So we're going to start with Ophelia?
Ophelia.
Yes. Ophelia?
Ophelia, yeah. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that need an explanation?
Your look says it all. Well, I mean, to be frank, it's definitely kind of some dark material if you know Ophelia.
If we know the play.
The play, yeah.
Exactly.
And it's sort of based off of that idea, you know, just. Love and how far you would go and where that would take you when you can't have the love that you want.
So, okay.
Yeah, keep that in
mind. And
it's
the first time we played. Actually, that was recorded with a trio, and so we Dory-fied it to be just
Dory-fied it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like pared down version.
Like
here.
Only Dory can. Well, yeah, here well, is.
It's our first time ever playing it.
As a duo. Yeah.
Well, exciting. Well, here is Lynn Cardona singing Ophelia, accompanied by Dory Amarillo, live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
I want to retire, expire, sink right down to the bottom of ocean, no motion. Said this all before, but now I swear it. Please dare it. Don't you know how far I'd go for joking. I've tried everything I can to mend it, pretend it. Guess there's only one thing left to do. Thank you.
Can't you see how deep this goes? I might as well. The deep blue sea, it beckons me for one kiss, baby, 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 baby.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Wow, Lynn Cardona singing Ophelia off of an album that is in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to let us know when that process is finished so we
can
help promote. And your website is lynncardona.com, so LynnCardona.com.
Correct. And you can also follow me on Instagram at Lynn Cardona Music.
Excellent. And now I know what diaphanous means.
Did you Google that?
No, I know it just from listening because I'm reading a quote from the Cleveland Scene magazine where they say, Lynn Cardona, the Los Angeles-based vocalist, whose pretty exotic looks and diaphanous jazz-flavored voice makes it easy to go for the Nora Jones comparisons. Imagine instead Annie DeFranco had she grown up on Sarah Vaughan Records.
Wow.
So,
That was written quite a while ago, but it's my favorite thing that anyone's ever read about me, so I always keep that in because I just love the way that sounds.
Well, when I saw that, I thought, okay. And I meant to look up diaphanous, but then I heard your voice. I'm like, that's what it means.
That right there. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
And Dori, Dori, what can one say about Dori? Go to his website, DoriAmaRILIO.com. Did I break that up in the right places?
Perfect.
So people can
remember. I feel
remember.
Like if you say our names with the accent, people like, Amarillo.
Amarillo.
Cardona. Then they're like,
That's
I got it.
That's right.
It's LA, so everyone's
you have to
like,
roll your tongue. Yeah.
But neither of you are Italian, so let's not make the confusion.
That's right.
That's true.
That's right.
So, Dori, when I went to your website, and of course I had known about you from Tess, who were very grateful that she got the two of you here for the show. Your compositions, you have orchestral music and choral music, and you're still doing this, I hope.
I went back to compose for film a year ago after taking a break. One of the breaks were also, you know, building a house in a studio. So it was kind of almost like 2 years out.
And one of the breaks probably was family, building a house and a family.
Right. And when I came back, it's kind of just, I ended up in kind of going back to my roots, which is playing jazz. And I started bumping into people that I used to play with and bringing back to the studio and end up, you know, more producing record, arranging, doing things that it's as opposed to what you find on a website, it's music that have verses and choruses as opposed to a dramatic score.
Interesting.
You know? However, I just got to do the score for a wonderful film called Watch It with a very talented director, Richard. And that's the first time I was given a reference from Miles Davis Records, and it's the first time I actually composed jazz for film. So that was my return to composing.
Okay. I'm just going to throw it out there. Grammy nomination, okay? You're overdue.
Yeah.
For a Grammy nomination. I'm just putting it out there. Don't look at me like I'm just saying you're overdue.
Okay.
So anyway, with all the right?
Yes.
Okay, with all the work you've done. I'm not the only one that says that, by the way. Tess, do I get an amen? Hey. Okay, so all right, so we get to hear another song.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay, what do we get to hear? Yeah.
This one's called A Little Too Late.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Is this Ophelia like arrives kind of... a little too late? What's going on?
Well, it's autobiographical, as are many of my songs. And it was, yeah, it was a song that I wrote after being sort of, you know, forlorn over love, as of many of my songs are. but I find that, you know, digging into kind of like that deep place and swimming around in your feelings until you just, you know, your fingers get all pruney. Like that's where I love to live in that space, you know, just like soaking up all of it, like and you know, and writing music with that.
Like getting your hands in the dirt.
Get your hands dirty, yeah. I love that. I mean, I try not to live there too much, but when I feel that way, I really want to feel it.
See, that's why I said getting your hands in the dirt, not getting dirty, but getting them in the dirt.
In the dirt, that's true,
it's grounding and, you know, cultivating.
And it's playing in a sandbox,
in the clay.
Nice,
yeah. And make something with it.
Exactly. And make something with it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
okay. So what you made was a little too late.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, hopefully not.
No, the song,
hopefully
I mean.
The song's not too late, but...
You're not too late. The song is a little too late. Mm-hmm. Well, here we have Lynn Cardona singing A Little Too Late.
Oh, and I want to mention that first song, Ophelia, was co-written by a brilliant musician who's from Memphis, where I lived for a long time, named Charlie Wood. He now lives in England. And this A Little Too Late was co-written by Matt Politano, who is an incredible pianist living in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I know him. Hey, Matt.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay. I'll be playing with him on the 5th, on Saturday, actually, at the Boardroom downtown.
Well, tell him Filippo said hi.
Okay.
And actually, where? Maybe I can come.
Oh, please come. I'll be at the Boardroom, downtown LA, and I'm sharing the night with a very talented vocalist named Jesselyn Brooks, and we'll be doing original compositions such as these and some kind of more funky groove and stuff. Matt Politano, Cooper Appelt on bass, and AMAC, or Aaron McClendon, on drums.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they can learn about that on your Facebook page?
On my website, on my Facebook, on my Instagram. I'm all over.
Okay. LynnCardona.com. And again, AdoriAmarillo.com. But we're going to hear A Little Too Late here with Lynn Cardona live and Dori Amarillo arranging. You're arranging on the fly?
I was basically...
Kind of.
I'm creating the guitar version because we don't have the band.
He's looking at the page right now like, okay, I think I'm going to do this. I
picked that up. So anyway, there it is.
I think we Life improv. Yeah.
Live here on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
Little too late.
little too late, 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 little too late.
Wow.
All right.
Wow. That's awesome. I didn't. You wrote that.
Yes.
You wrote
I mean, I wrote exactly what you just sang, but the chord changes were, you know, helped with other people. Like Matt Politano actually wrote the chord changes.
Nice.
For it, so, yeah. So I have to give him credit for sure.
Well, kudos to the two of you.
Thank
Lynn
you.
Cardona here performing Little Too Late, Little Too Late. Little too late.
Yeah, a
little too late.
Right on time.
Yeah.
I think you got the hook.
That's catchy. Yeah.
So thank you both so much for being here. What a pleasure.
And
I look forward to seeing you live. And
yeah.
I look forward. Are you going to be there on Saturday or no?
I'm going to drop by.
He's a busy cat, so yeah, he's got stuff going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, we know. He came from another studio to be here.
Yeah, I know.
So
oh, with
really
Tierney Sutton.
It.
No big deal. And wait, who else were you?
I just... recorded a new song by Marilyn Ellen Bergman and Mike Stoller.
I didn't even know she was still writing.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
and Mike Stoller.
Talking about songwriters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
and
the biggest in that. Right. Yeah.
No big deal.
He invented rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. What was his hit song? I forget. Do you remember?
A few of them.
So
well,
many.
Everything there Elvis was sang. Hound Dog, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
Smokey Joe.
Yes.
Everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, this has been so great. So great to have you both here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dori Amarillo and Lynn Cardona.
Thank you so much.
What a pleasure. And what a pleasure this show has been. We look forward to being back again next week with another great guest and more great music here on the Life Changes Show. On behalf of Brent Hahn here in the studio, actually, let me just give a moment of thanks to making us sound so good here,
Brent. Thank you,
Brent.
Yes.
And also to BBS Radio, Don Newsom, our program manager, and Doug Newsom. Also, on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Lejeure, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.